In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear the words of the prophet. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. These words are familiar to us. They are the words of Isaiah as he proclaimed a message of liberation and return home for the exiles. These are also the words of John the Baptist, found in all three of our synoptic gospels, as he proclaimed a message of repentance and preparation for the coming of Jesus, who would restore the people's connection to God. These are also the words of Martin Luther King Jr., as he spoke to our nation from atop the Lincoln Memorial, proclaiming a message of equality and brotherhood for every American citizen. These are words of freedom, liberation, and salvation. But freedom from what? Dr. King knew that he was proclaiming a future freedom from the scourges of racism, legally sanctioned discrimination, and arbitrary animus. From what was John the Baptist proclaiming freedom? Well, listen to how our gospel reading begins today. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Whew, that's a lot of bureaucracy. Do you feel oppressed yet? These were all these rulers who were pressing their claims of hegemony over the people's lives. You have an emperor, you have a governor, you have a ruler, all claiming power over the Jews. And as if that wasn't enough, then within the Jewish community, you had not just one, but two high priests named, exercising power and authority in Jerusalem. And it is in response to all this authority and power and governing that there comes an alternative. We hear it from this guy out in the desert proclaiming a word from God. And what is this word? It is a message of repentance and forgiveness. Now, repentance means turning or changing, and forgiveness means reconciliation. Repentance and forgiveness are the keys to freedom from all this ruling over and bureaucracy. In the face of all these rulers, all these competing claims for the people's allegiance, John reminds them that it is God who loves them. John uses the prophet Isaiah to draw a parallel for the people. Those emperors and governors and rulers are just like those valleys and mountains and crooked paths and rough roads. They are barriers between where the people are and where they want to go. Isaiah was speaking to the Israelites held in captivity, longing to return home, afraid not just of those rulers who held them captive, but also of that long, treacherous journey that separated them from their home. And so Isaiah proclaimed a public works project, right? The construction of a graded highway that would straighten the curves and flatten the hills and lead God's people safely home to Jerusalem. Now John translates this proclamation of Isaiah as a call to repentance of sins. Sin isn't just about a list of rules. And repentance isn't just about being a goody two-shoes. Sin is anything that alienates, that causes a rift in relationship. And repentance is to heal the breach, to nurture the relationship, to stay connected. Sin is what hurts your soul, and repentance is taking your hand off of that burning stovetop. Repentance is to turn away from the competing claims of authority over one's life, to turn away from the valleys and the mountains and the curves, those competing loyalties, those unnecessary obligations, those disordered affections, those things that lead us away from a single-hearted commitment to God. We turn away from those habits and practices that alienate us from one another, from ourselves, and from God. Now, St. Thomas Episcopal Church knows about repentance. And, just like John and Isaiah, we know about construction projects. We have spent a lot of time and energy and money giving expression to our belief in solidarity and relationship. You may have noticed when you came in, we built a ramp right up to our church building to make it accessible for those who couldn't traverse the steps that were 150 years old and may have gotten a little uneven in the process. We put an elevator into the parish hall and a handicap-friendly bathroom. These are acts of repentance. They are a recognition that something in our life together was causing difficulty for certain people and preventing them from participating fully in the life of the church. And so we sought to answer Isaiah's call to flatten the hills and grade the valleys. And when you see that ramp or that elevator, you are seeing the salvation of God at work right here at St. Thomas. If only all of life was as easy as building a ramp or an elevator. And I'll bet those weren't easy projects. But those physical, visible construction projects are the easier part of the task to which we are called. Right? It's the ramps and the elevators in our hearts that are more challenging to construct. These are the efforts and the habits required to cross boundaries, to overcome hurts and slights, to defy cultural norms of racism and classism and ageism and whatever other flavor of prejudice you care to name. These are the challenges that lie constantly before us. Now, some of that construction that goes on in our hearts will become visible in new or renewed relationships. In participation in justice ministries like Kitchen of Hope or Interfaith Hospitality Network or the Giving Trees, and in the decisions we make around work, money, and spending. All that we do here at St. Thomas is meant to be repentance. It's meant to be an embrace of God's forgiveness. All of it, everything we do, is a turning away from false rulers like fear or anger or prejudice or anxiety. All that we do is about instead turning to God, to God's character of faith, hope, and love. All that we do is intended to lead our own transformation ever more into the image of God. This is the work that Isaiah described as building graded, paved roads that would lead us directly into the arms of a loving God. Hear the words of the prophet. I have a dream that one day, on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Dr. King had a vision for a major public works. His vision was even bigger than the Eisenhower Interstate System. It was a vision that he caught from Isaiah and found in the words of John the Baptist. And it's a bigger vision, a bigger dream than just one of color and race. And like the dream of a world without racism, it is a vision that remains as yet unfulfilled. Instead, God is graciously inviting us to take part in God's vision, in God's mission, in God's dream. It was this dream which led Jesus to be born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and to die on the cross just a few years later. It is this dream that only finds fulfillment as we learn to carry the work of Jesus into our lives, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, and into our church. God is inviting you and me to participate in God's mission of freedom, liberation, and salvation. Repent. Be baptized, and you shall see the salvation of God. Amen.